humorous hacks. It's a medical podcast. We're gonna teach you. We're gonna teach you things.
Humorous.
Hello.
Humorous hacks. Humorous, humorous, humorous hacks. Oh, mic drop.
Is that how we're standing from now on? Are we just always doing it?
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody needs to hear my sick beats.
Hi, humorous Sarah. Hacks. It's been like 2 months since I've actually seen you in person.
Yeah, man. We're going to break down that fourth wall. You know, because like I'm really weird about that. Like I hate imagining podcasters not being in the same room together. But
oh, really?
Yeah. It just like, you know, it ruins the illusion that they're just there creating beautiful memories together.
Like we're in a formal studio. I don't think anyone listening to this has ever believed that we're actually in a formal studio.
Yeah, they do. That's what they think. They think we're professional. They think we're Ira Glass, man.
Man, I wish I was Ira Glass. But to paint a picture, Sarah was in London for 6 weeks, so I didn't see her, and then we overlapped, and now I'm in New York.
You sound like you're from London.
London, and so I'm in this basement in Brooklyn at the moment, and it's really early in the morning, and you're in Melbourne, and it's really late at night. It's so far away. Also, time difference, holy crap.
Okay, so we haven't actually been together, had a Karen on Sarah time for so long. So.
I know, it's so sad. Also, because we're used to kind of hanging out all the time.
Yeah. Intertwined, symbiotic kind of relationship.
But yeah. Well,
consequently, I haven't learned anything about medicine since you've been away.
Oh, since well. You've been gone. Apart from the whole 2 months of med school that you've had.
No, I didn't learn anything.
To all our listeners, sorry that this episode might be a bit different quality. We clearly don't have the microphones in my little Brooklyn basement, but we'll do what we can.
Yeah, man. Oh, gee.
Sarah, do you know the craziest thing about New York? I think. Well, I mean, New York hospitals, obviously, there's a lot of crazy things. Everyone wears white coats here, like the actual lab coats. It's so interesting. Yeah.
When I was in London, I also had a white coat, and then 6 weeks later, I brought it back to, get cleaned, and they were all like, your white coat is grey and, covered in pen marks and disgusting. You're supposed to bring it back to wash every week. And I was like, oh, that makes sense.
Oh, that's so gross. That is so gross. Yeah, it's so funny, and there's this thing that you're meant to have them at different lengths. To any international listeners in Australia, we don't do that stuff. I think we're just too lazy, or maybe it's too hot, or maybe I don't know.
I thought it was hygiene issues,
But in Australia, I think we don't do it because of the intimidation factor.
True. Don't want that white coat hypertension, yo.
It's nice to hear your voice, Sarah.
It's nice to hear your voice. Hi. Got you in my earbuds.
So I have a little segue into our episode today. Exciting. Okay, so I'm in New York at the moment, right? Mm. And we keep kind of walking around different areas, and people keep obviously finding out we're tourists because it's really obvious. And they're like, oh, what are you gonna do here? And they keep saying, will you do the Sex and the City tour? And then they say, will you do the Friends tour? And will you go to Central Perk? I.e. do all that Friends stuff. But I really don't like Friends. I just think it's a really annoying TV show.
Oh no, we're going to get so much hate mail.
Do you like Friends?
Everyone likes Friends. It's not like you like it. It's like an institution. Anyway, whatever. Go on.
Anyway, well, fun fact about Friends. A fun fact, probably a harsh word. So in season 6, at the end of season 6, Chandler proposes to Monica, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like on that very last episode. And so what happens is he proposes. It's all real emotional. Everyone's like, oh my God, love. And then the episode finishes. And in the first episode of season 7, it's a continuation of that same day, right? So it's like we're in the same outfit. It's a continuation of that event in time, right?
Cool. Is this a Friends podcast now? Because I'm also totally down with that.
Okay, I'm not down for that, but this is relevant. Anyway, what's really interesting is that if you watch the end, so the naive viewer of Friends, or someone who isn't me and actually likes Friends, we'll look at the last episode of season 6 and think, okay, like Chandler, you know, like.
Okay, sorry, I'm going to have to stop you there. Are you saying Chandler?
I don't.
Chandler? Like S-H-A-N-L-E-R?
Is it Chandler?
Chandler?
Is it really obvious I don't watch Friends?
That's so funny. Chandler Bing?
Is it, what is it? Chandler?
It's Chandler.
And now it sounds weird. That flows as well. Chandler.
That's just his name.
Okay, so
it sounds
Matthew
weird
Perry.
When you say it. Matthew Perry. Yeah, go on.
So in the end of season 6, like, he's just looking like his normal, you know, self. And then at the start of season 7, all of a sudden he's like 20 pounds or like 9 kilos lighter. Yeah?
Yeah, man.
And it's really interesting because it's the same day, but he looks like a completely different person. And the reason that is, and like, it's really interesting, is he had pancreatitis in between season 6 and season 7. Because apparently he was like a really big drinker. And so, yeah.
Ooh, really crushing dreams here. I always thought that he had anorexia. That's the, like, was on the rumor mill, what I heard. I didn't know he had pancreatitis.
Yeah, he had a bout of pancreatitis. So, I mean, according to the internet, he had a bout of pancreatitis kind of brought on by, he was like quite a heavy drinker in that period of time. And that led to him losing, I guess, quite a bit of weight through that illness.
Oh. Segue, pretty depressing segue right there.
Yeah, but an interesting fact if you actually like look at those two episodes.
I don't think you even know how many people out there who like love Chandler and love Friends are just like, fuck you for even bringing up like his drinking and his weight loss and like marring our beautiful time with him. As in, that's what I think of you right now. Anyway, pancreatitis. So this is my little tidbit to start us off, which is sort of related, is that pan comes from the Greek word like a pan for, that means all, so all, and kreos apparently is Greek for flesh,
yeah,
or Greek origin flesh, so it's like all flesh, which makes sense because Chandler lost all his weight, and also because the pancreas is like this gross fleshy thing that secretes like hormones and enzymes and stuff that affects all your body. So all flesh. How cool is that?
Cool. I like it. I like it a lot.
I like it.
Sarah, can you at all tell us what the pancreas actually does?
I can. So Karen and I were talking about this episode before we recorded, taking down that fourth wall even more so. And she was like, yo, so I don't actually know what it does. And I was like, hey, me neither. Classic medicine teaching us the disease and the buzzwords rather than like what the actual organ does. No, I'm not saying that they didn't teach us. I'm saying what they hammered in was like pancreatitis, epigastric pain, radiates to the back, shoulder tip tenderness. Anyway, get into that later. But the pancreas is made up of, is a gland, so it secretes things, and it's got exocrine and endocrine glands. So basically it just secretes stuff into your blood and also into your bowels.
Cool.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. And the two like main things it does, it's got like the acina cells, which release, do you remember the word zymogens? I don't know if that's how you pronounce this. Zymogens? Zymogens?
I don't even slightly remember that.
Okay, so I remember zymogens because it was like a really funny word. And basically what they are is it's the enzymes before they're activated are called zymogens. So they sit inside the pancreas and then that gets squeezed into your duodenum, into your bowel, and that's what helps you digest food and stuff.
Yeah, cool.
So that's the bit that goes in your bowel, and then there's the whole like islets. Remember the islets of Langerhans?
Yeah.
So the islets of Langerhans are made up of the alpha cells and the beta cells and all those other cells that make hormones. So there's the alpha cells that make glucagon, and glucagon increases your blood sugar levels, and then there's the beta cells, which we all know make insulin.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. That's what the pancreas does. There's like obviously a million more things that it does, but in general, it's a gland and it makes enzymes and hormones and it helps regulate like the rest of your body. And fun fact, Langerhans, the Paul Langerhans of the islet of Langerhans, died from renal failure, which is a complication of acute pancreatitis.
Ah, right.
How sick is that?
I just still think it'd be really funny to make a map of the world and like put in like the islets of Langerhans. Like this is a map of the world, but you use medical terms that sound kind of like a foreign, like exciting city.
Yeah.
Okay, so the pancreas really is, so it's got like the endocrine, which is the insulin, and the exocrine function, which is like just all like the pancreatic juices.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. All right, so let's talk about pancreatitis. So with like so many things, there's acute and chronic, which kind of makes it really easy. So acute generally is just like the pancreas is pretty normal, and then after the episode, generally the pancreas becomes normal afterwards, but it can be relapsing. You can get it a few times. But chronic is more like a continuous inflammation, so it's like an irreversible process that just gets worse and worse and worse over time. Yeah.
And just to backtrack to like, I was just thinking like pancreatitis. If you didn't know, if you're like in first year, you don't even know that titus means inflammation. And then I was thinking of Titus from Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, because Titus Burgess or whatever his name is like this sassy, amazing, cool dude who's like, you know, he's on fire, he's inflammation. So that's a little tidbit if you needed to remember what Titus means. It's inflammation.
That's awesome.
Okay, sorry. So again, back to acute pancreatitis.
Okay, cool. Well, I reckon we'll just like straight up start off with the classic acronym for acute pancreatitis. And for those listeners out there, means they really only like acronyms when they're really, really good. And this one is fantastic. So the causes of acute pancreatitis are I get smashed, which is amazing because, like, you know, pancreatitis is kind of like alcohol, so I get smashed. Amazing. So I is idiopathic, which is, like, you know, the classic, always the best answer. People are like, what's one of the causes of this? And you're like, idiopathic? And they're like, okay, I'm going to give it to you.
And then the other one is iatrogenic. The eyes have it. Idiopathic and iatrogenic. And I also read that one of the causes of idiopathic is biliary sludge. I don't know what that is. It's just like schmutz from your gallbladder is in your pancreas.
Gallbladder schmutz. Okay. That's amazing. The next one is gallstones. Mm-hmm. And really, like, what happens is that the gallstones really just block the ampulla, which kind of blocks the pancreas, nothing can get out, and then the pancreas is like, we just have to digest ourselves because the enzymes can't go anywhere else.
That's actually like the crux of pancreatitis, and which I didn't understand for ages. Like, if there's a stone at the end of the pancreatic duct, at like the ampulla of Vata, which is where the pancreas like releases its substance into the bowel, if you block that up, then you're going to get like a backlog of all this and like increased pressure inside the pancreas, and instead of all these enzymes being released into the gut where they're activated and then they break down the food, they're going to move into like the interstitial spaces of the pancreas and get activated, and then it's that thing called autodigestion, and that's like hypothesized as the cause of pancreatitis, is these enzymes are actually like starting to digest the pancreas itself because they've been activated prematurely. And yeah, that's the thing. I don't know. I think that's really interesting.
It also makes it sound like a lot, like really cool. It's like, oh no, we're blocked. Oh God, we have to like self-destruct from within. It's like, you know, like a country being blocked off from any outside communication. We're like, oh no, let's just eat each other alive.
Oh God.
Like, it's quite cannibalistic, don't you think? It's like a desert island and all these enzymes are stuck on each other. The last ship, like, is blocked off and they're like, fuck it, let's just eat each other. Let's eat the island itself.
Oh, my gosh. That's so funny. Yes.
So really, like, the two biggest causes of pancreatitis is gallstones, about 45%. And with the I get smashed, the next one, which is E, it's ethanol, aka alcohol, which is about 35%. Mm-hmm. So those two are your two, like, biggest players in this game. Mm-hmm. Alcohol can lead to kind of chronic pancreatitis picture for chronic drinkers, but also for talking about the Matthew Perry will allege situation is that he like had a lot of heavy drinking for a bit of time and then got pancreatitis. So turns out alcohol isn't that good for you.
I just miss you so much, alleged. I forgot how much you say things funny and I miss making fun of you. I'm pretty sure it's alleged. And everybody's gonna think I'm such a smart ass, like I'm always correcting you, but it's just so funny. Alleged. Alleged. It's like you I've never said it aloud before.
I've been in New York for 5 weeks and everyone has been making fun of everything I say. It turns out we have completely different vernacular at home. And I've had like so many communication errors and just people just don't understand me. I'm like, what is happening here?
It's because you're going around calling everyone like a motherfucker. Fucking motherfucker, I love ya. What'd you say to me? So yeah, alcohol apparently causes like direct toxic injury or can cause like, it's like a direct toxin to the pancreas. And that's why it can cause acute injury, but also that chronic alcohol intake can cause chronic pancreatitis as well.
Cool, cool, cool. So the next one is trauma. Now trauma was one of the things I was like, wait a second, trauma, because idiopathic gallstones, ethanol and trauma are meant to be overall the four most, common, but then I was like, trauma, it almost like it confused me because the pancreas is pretty protected, like it's like all high up there. And then I looked into it, and the pancreas actually, like in terms of an organ that gets damaged by trauma, is only like the 10th most common organ to get damaged by trauma. And then if you think about it, I tried to name 10 organs, like we don't have that many organs. It was like, it's like not that common. So trauma can happen, you know, blunt trauma, like motor vehicle accident, but also, you know, like someone shoots in the back, stabs in the back, all that stuff. But if you are to have a damaged pancreas, it's usually that you've got other organs damaged first. So like if you've got lots of organs damaged, you're like, oh, what about the pancreas? Maybe we haven't thought about that. But yeah, it's like, I was like, yeah, actually, if you think about anatomy, which I know so well, I was like, no. Yeah.
Cool. All right. I get smashed. Oh, God. Can I just say, there are so many causes of pancreatitis. And I think for the basic level, knowing idiopathic gallstone and alcohol is like, good job. But I want to hear what the smashed is anyway.
Cool. So the smashed is, the first one, steroids.
Mm-hmm.
M is for mumps. If you've ever want to know like a good way to remember mumps, there's a band called Y with a question mark and they have a really good song and they talk about mumps in it and they're kind of like, but anyway, that's relevant. But if you know, not that, you know, we didn't know mumps that well.
I just remember mumps or chitis because it's the one that causes swollen testicles. So I just think it swells like all the glands, but yeah. Swollen testicles is what I think of when I hear mumps. Anyway, sorry, A.
A is autoimmune disease, so like lupus, for example, but autoimmune classic disease lupus can cause it. The other S is the most classic one that people tend to know, but it's like the thing that your consultant will get angry, like really angry about, but if you don't say it, it's like, have you even studied? Scorpion bites. Rando. Oh,
classic scorpion.
Yeah, I know, the classic. It's like the classic situation for any kind of like early medical students out there. As a consultant or attending, if you're in America, is like, oh, you know, what are the causes of pancreatitis? And you sit there and you're like, well, idiopathic, you know, obviously. And then you're like, scorpion bites, and they roll their eyes. But, you know, it's also like, yeah, you know, it's true. You're not wrong. Yeah. H is for hyperlipidemia and hypercalcemia. So lots of fats, lots of calcium.
Mm-hmm.
E is for ERCP, which is like that like annoying one because it's like the cause and the consequence.
And the cure. Sorry, it's just interesting.
Yeah. The cure as well. That's what I meant to say. Like ERCP can both cause pancreatitis but can also be the cure of pancreatitis if there's like a gallstone. So crazy. Yeah.
We should just quickly say what ERCP is. It's endoscopic. So when you get the little tubes that go inside people, endoscopic retrograde cholangiopancreatography. So basically you pop a tube down someone's throat and you get to the sphincter and of the ampulla cavata and you're like, let's just put a little bit of dye in there. Yep. Oh, I see what's going on. Now I'm just going to get in there and fix it all up and spread it all out and get that stone out. Now you're fixed. So that can be good, or it can be like, whoops, I accidentally irritated the pancreas, and now you have pancreatitis. My bad. That's my understanding. I'm actually on GI surge at the moment, and I've actually seen the RCP, and I still have no idea what's going on.
Oh, hey, that's worrying.
Sorry, I mean, I know everything. I'm a doctor.
Well, we're not yet. Thank God. We have like 2 months left of not being doctors, and it's so good. So good.
Okay, I get smashed. D, let me guess. D, drugs.
It's always drugs. D are always drugs, which is so vague. But actually, there's another cheeky acronym for the drugs. I didn't know that, but I'll say it. Look, if you've gotten this far through the acronym, like, you're doing pretty well. But the drugs are, so it's SAND, like S-A-N-D. Okay. S is for steroids and sulfonamides. Mm-hmm. A is for azathioprine. N is for NSAIDs. And D is for diuretics.
Nice. So it's like, I get smashed and then poof, sand, because you're like on the beach and you're just like face down.
Amazing. Okay. So those are like all the different causes. But for the most part, you know, you're really thinking like a gallstone or alcohol picture. That's the most common. But like, cool. What is our stereotypical patient? Like, who's coming in? What are they doing? What are they looking like in ED?
So they're like clutching the top of their belly and they're like, oh, it hurts. It hurts so bad. And they might like vom on you and they're like, oh, it just started. And it's like, and they're like, oh, it's in my back. It hurts in my back. Oh, what is it? That's, yeah.
Okay. So let's say you've got pancreatitis right now. Yeah. So if I'm asking you questions, what I want to ask you, like, okay. So you have abdominal pain, but it's at the top center of your abdomen. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's exactly where it is. Ouchie.
And it just like came on suddenly?
Came on suddenly.
And when you say it's in the back, do you mean that it's gone all the way around to the back or it's gone straight through?
Straight through.
So apparently like the pain that you get in pancreatitis is that it's kind of like up at like epigastric area, but then it just goes straight through to the back. Like just like like a laser beam through your body.
And I read that chronic pancreatitis, which we'll get to later, can be that sort of more band-like pain, which kind of makes sense. But I don't know, probably not that specific. But anyway, let's go on. Ask me more questions.
Okay, so right now, do you feel better? Do you want a bed to lie down on or do you want a chair to sit up?
No, I feel better sitting up. It's fine.
Ah, cool. So like leaning forward often takes
pressure? Yeah.
And did like... Was there any, did you have any foods that made it feel particularly bad?
Yeah, I had like a Macca's cheeseburger and some chips and some chicken wings and some nuggets and a milkshake.
Oh, that sounds so good. So, so like real fatty foods do it, eh?
Yeah.
Sick. And now what I'm going to do is I'm going to do like when I'm looking for specific signs of pancreatitis, so I'm kind of looking at that picture. But I'm also going to look in the abdomen for two specific signs.
Yeah. Oh my God, I'm so excited. So Karen and I both have mnemonics to remember these two signs. And I'm really curious to hear what yours are. And then I'll tell you mine.
This is like a bit of a like a mnemonic off. It's like, who's going to have the better one?
Yeah, I think mine is going to be better for certain people. And yours are probably going to be better for the general public.
Oh, that worked out really well. I was like, yeah, I already Trump without you even hearing it.
Hey, okay. go on.
So the two signs that you can get is if it's like a severe pancreatitis, so this hemorrhage is getting really bad, there are two things that you want to look for. So the first one is Gray-Turner's sign. Yeah, Gray-Turner sign. Mm-hmm. And it's on the flanks, so on the side of the abdomen. And it's like these kind of like red, like hemorrhagic marks, which are indicative of retroperitoneal hemorrhage. Mm-hmm. And it's gray turners because you turn them to see their flanks.
Oh. Mine's just so ridiculous. Okay, that's great. Okay, I want to hear your next sign. Do your next sign and I'll do both as well.
So Cullen sign is the other sign, but that's like kind of like a circle around the umbilicus, aka the belly button. But you just sound silly saying the belly button, but whatever. And so what that is, it's more of kind of like a yellowish bluish, but it's still like this kind of hemorrhagic ring around your belly button. And that's from like the pancreatic enzymes that are digesting the tissue around the belly button. Cool. Yeah. Which like is not that common, but is obviously a bad sign and generally means it's pancreatic necrosis happening. But hey, remember it's Cullen's sign. So you think of Edward Cullen, aka
oh! That's mine.
Is it? That's amazing. That's amazing.
Well, how are you going to relate Edward Cullen to this?
Well, he's a vampire, so he's just like, he just bit you around your belly button. He's like, ah, the meaty area, I want to stroke there where all the bulk is. And so he bolts, like, he bites you around your belly button, so you got this, like, perfect ring around your belly button.
That's great. Okay, now I'll tell you mine. So, Twilight, Jacob. Jacob is Bella's friend, who's actually a werewolf. So if you think of Jacob, who's, like, that really sexy dude, yeah, and he's got those sexy loins, like when on those, you know, magazine covers with his top off, and he's got like those rippling abs and the sexy loins, right?
Oh my god, sexy loins!
And he turns into a grey wolf, and then he's got like the flanks of the wolf are grey, so he's gonna have grey. Turner's sign is bruising in the flanks, and then so that's the Grey Turners, and then the Cullen sign is Edward Cullen, because he's the center of like Bella's whole obsession and her life, and she becomes a vampire because of him, so it's all very central, and it's peri-umbilical bruising because that's the center. So he's and like Bella like pushes, you know, Jacob to the side even though he loves her, so it's on the side. Alright, turns out we messed up. We don't know how to use the computers well or the interwebs, so now we're going to finish the rest of our podcast together.
Yeah, so quick fast forward. Turns out the whole doing a podcast when I was in New York and Sarah was in Melbourne didn't work that well.
Not so good.
Redoing the bottom half of this episode. But it's so good to see you now. Yeah. It's so nice to see you. It's literally been 3 months since we've seen each other.
Seriously, Sarah and Karen back together again.
I was a lot more excited than you were.
I was super excited. Anyway, let's finish pancreatitis so we can jabber away later.
Alrighty.
So we were up to our amazing Cullens and Grey Turner signs.
They were so good.
Which you'll never ever forget if you're a Twilight fan like moi.
I don't think I've ever seen Twilight, actually, but I just know the characters. No, I've never seen it. I have read the books, though. I don't know what's worse. Okay, so we're up to investigations.
Yep.
So someone comes in, they've got you're worried about acute pancreatitis. So you want to just do a general blood workup. So, you know, like your FBA and your USCs, you want to do some liver function tests, especially because there might be some gallstones. Gallbladder situation there, and like a CRP as well.
Mm-hmm.
But there are two important tests that you need to do.
And because, you know, the pancreas makes enzymes and all enzymes end in ase, so it's lipase and amylase.
Oh, I never thought about it that way. That's genius.
Yeah.
So here comes the conversation that you're going to have with like every ED reg after ever when they're like, which one do you want to pick? Lipase or amylase?
Yeah.
What do you pick?
Which I can never, ever remember which one is right.
Lipase.
It turns out it's lipase.
So amylase still increases, but I think it's not as specific, but lipase is just better.
Yeah, basically. And aside from those bloods, you also want to maybe do an ultrasound of the belly, of the pancreas, and just have a look, little look-see inside, see what's going on. You might see some gallstones. You might see some like dilation of the biliary ducts that might be like due to obstruction. You might see a big cancer. I don't know.
Also, the benefit of an ultrasound is that's the best way to see the gallbladder. So you could see I cannot say gallstones right now. That's
okay. She's just excited to be back.
And jet lagged. but you should also, consider doing a CT as well. And again, you're also looking just to see if there's any gas or any signs of infection just in case it's getting worse.
Mm.
You could also consider an abdo x-ray if there's any other differentials you want to rule out.
Yeah, can do.
And if the pain's high enough, you know, you wouldn't be worse off if you suggested an ECG.
True that. You might pick up a nice little STEMI for yourself.
Oh,
well. Cheeky little STEMI.
But hopefully not for the patient. All right, so what now? What do we do for them?
So the big thing that I learned about pancreatitis when we were talking about this topic is like, it such a big condition and you're always worried about it and like it has so many consequences. But then when it comes to management, it's like literally like stop eating, give them some IV fluids and then just wait.
Yes.
And be supportive, be nice, considerate, caring.
I love like give supportive management and you're like, oh, how are you feeling? But they're like, they mean fluids. So think of morphine for some analgesia and metoclopramide if there's some nausea and vomiting, which is really likely. And if vomiting is a severe issue, you might be thinking an NGT as well. And again, I mean, going kind of bit back a step, don't forget your doctor's ABCs in any situation.
True.
Which we totally need to do an episode on.
Yeah, that's Karen's phrase for every episode. She'll be like, we have to do an episode on that as well. We will. Don't worry, guys. We'll get there.
And also just consider like the cause of it. So pancreatitis has many causes, as denoted by get smashed. But for example, if it's like precipitated by alcohol, you're thinking that, you know, well, what are some alcohol situations you need to deal with? So like giving them thiamine. But if it's gallblown,
I like that. Because it's like you're blowing up the gallbladder, like a balloon. Yeah. It's got little balloons. Gallblowns.
This is really
gallblown disease. You need to think about getting rid of those stones and maybe they'll need a cholecystectomy or they might need to go through that like ERCP, so the endoscopic looking in there. But yeah, most acute pancreatitis resolves spontaneously. So yay for us, as long as you diagnose it correctly.
Yes, and I think 25% of pancreatitis is recurrent.
Mm.
That would be annoying. You're like, oh crap, I've done this before. Cool.
So chronic pancreatitis, the less exciting pancreatitis.
I think everything chronic is less exciting.
No, what about chronic?
Go on.
No. chronic pancreatitis. So ongoing like inflammation, destruction of the pancreas is bad.
Bad.
You lose all those enzymes and things that the pancreas usually creates and then the person's going to be in a bad situation. So to treat that, you're going to have to replace those enzymes and put them on supplements. And specifically when somebody's losing all their enzymes, they're not going to be able to metabolize their fat-soluble stuff. So those are fat-soluble vitamins A, D, E, K.
Adek.
Good to remember.
Adek.
I'm addicted to fatty food.
I'll take it. Oh, God. I love more of those sour ones. And so with chronic pancreatitis, the kind of picture that you're looking at in terms of the patient that's coming in is it could be individuals who have alcoholism, so excessive and chronic alcohol intake.
Mm-hmm.
I think they love talking about politicians. What? but you can get autoimmune pancreatitis. Cystic fibrosis is a really big cause.
Yeah. So cystic fibrosis in particular, when you're talking about, you know, the pancreas not being able to secrete the enzymes you need, in cystic fibrosis, basically every gland in your body, instead of secreting nice liquid fluids, it's like secreting squishy and viscous fluid. So it doesn't flow properly. So the pancreas in cystic fibrosis is going to be like all gunked up and not expressing its exocrine glands as nicely as it should be. And that applies like all over the body. So in like the lungs and the vas deferens and all over that. And then we'll do a whole other episode on that, definitely. But yeah, so that's what happens in cystic fibrosis.
That is a really good summary.
Thanks, babe.
I'm really glad. and also autosomal dominant familial pancreatitis is another little cause as well. Yeah. So I think these guys kind of like, guys are women, but they will have chronic pancreatitis and come in with kind of acute exacerbations, like acute exas, which could just be diarrhea. Like often there's a little weight loss because of, avoidance with eating. They could present with steatorrhea, which is
a floaty, smelly stool that you get when your fats aren't being broken down. So just ending up in your poopy, and fat is like... floats because it's, what do you call it, lipohydrophobic, so it floats and is smelly.
It's also, you have to always like think of a way to ask them, so it's like, have your stools been different recently, do they float a lot? And then like half the people are like, who looks at their stools? And other people are like, oh yeah, totally.
Who doesn't look at their stools?
I know. It's like everyone should be doing that.
I thought the Bristol stool chart was just installed on the back of all toilet seats.
Oh, I love the Bristol stool chart. It's so good. It's so convenient.
Maybe they should make like see-through toilet seats so that you can like put it down and then like be like, Mom, look what I made.
You know what I want to do is crochet like a little, those little things, that decoration things you crocheted me.
What? Sorry, my Android Siri is just Googling us. Oh my God.
What's it looking up?
It Googled like a little, because that's what you said, and then it started talking to us.
All right, let's get rid
Apparently, Like a Little was a social network service launched by Evan Rees with helped college students flirt with one another, which means Like a Little was like Facebook, but bad.
Oh.
Sorry.
Creepy. Man, Android Siri is creepy.
Yes, it's called Google.
How to flirt with your colleagues. Oh, yeah, it is. Oh, yeah, that little, you know, you crocheted me that little fox. What do they call that stitch?
Cross stitch.
Cross stitch. I would love like to cross stitch something that says, may you always be a four, like as in reference to the Bristol stool chart, the four being the perfect poo, and put in the back of my toilet.
Or maybe you could say, may the fourth be with you.
That's a really good day to have. That's
may the fourth should be, as well as, you know, it is may already, the fourth be it, with you, it should also be Stool Awareness Day. Where everybody has a glass of Metamucil.
I wonder if it is a Stool Awareness Day. Anyway, so should we leave a little hack?
Yeah. Give us your tidbit.
All right. So even though I'm back in Melbourne, which is real exciting because I get to hang out with Sarah again, we have both just been jetsetting across the world, which was super exciting. And so I guess my little hack this week is if your medical school, if you are a medical student out there, I know a lot of you aren't, still, thanks for listening to us, and your med school does offer an elective, you don't necessarily need to go overseas because it's really hard to organize, but do something fun with your elective. Do something you love. Go do a research project somewhere, even if it's in the same city you live in or small town you live in. Go do something. Organize it early. It takes a long time to organize, but when you do something fabulous and have the opportunity to do it, it is so worth it. So organize it early. Look into what you want to do early. Just make the most of it. It can be expensive. It can be not expensive. It's up to you, but it's hashtag worth it.
And just getting outside your comfort zone and doing something medical in like a different environment can just be enough to like really boost your energy and make you excited about it, and can be hashtag dope. I wanted to do a hashtag.
Hashtag toads. All right.
That's all from us.
Don't stress.
Check us out on the Facebook. Send us any emails. We've been getting some great suggestions, and we'll definitely get around to them eventually because now that we're back on track. So humoroushacks@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, don't stress.
Don't stress.
Humorous Hacks. It's a medical podcast. We're going to teach you. We're going to teach you things.